The motion on the table is, there she is. We're just gonna hold off on that.
The motion on the table is to continue to adopt the Senate language for the aquatic invasive species penalties, and I would like a roll call, please, Mr. Chair.
Roll call vote has been requested for the amendment to adopt the Senate language for the, I believe it was the fine section, section 22. Any further discussion, members? Everybody understand the amendment? Hearing none, take the roll.
Senator Skoy.
Yes.
Senator Carlson.
Yes.
Senator Dames.
Yes.
Senator Gazelka.
Yes.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Yes.
Representative McNamara.
No.
Representative Hancock.
No.
Representative Dill.
Yes.
Representative Depke.
Yes.
Representative Lemire.
No.
One short.
Okay, the amendment failed. Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the House fine fee schedule with the idea that it's something in the future that'll have to be looked at, but this is a very important part of the bill.
Motion by Representative McNamara. Everybody understand the motion? All in favor of the McNamara motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Did we adopt it, Mr. Chair?
I believe we just
yes.
did.
Okay.
That's what this is.
I can't hear very good.
Mr. Knopf, can you continue, please?
Chair, if you want to continue on, you've got on the bottom page R17, you've got a couple of provisions that are the same, and then also on page R18, you've got another provision that's the same. Yeah, all the way through R19. And 30.18 in the Senate, 19.18 in the House are identical. So you could adopt those in one motion.
Move. Representative Dill moves. Any further questions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All same sign. Adopted.
And Mr. Chair, now you have a Senate-only aquatic invasive species rule decal. That's section 26. That's on the bottom of page R19. Anybody's gonna move that, or
Mr. Chair?
Senator Carlson? I'm sorry. Senator,
go ahead.
Senator Carlson. Senator Carlson moves section 26.
And Mr. Chair, I think
R19.
Mr. Chair, I think along with that, you should move a provision that's on page R58 that provides for a temporary warning for the first 2 years. It's R58, it's section 31, would go along with that.
That can be in the same motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Everybody understand the motion?
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, I don't understand the amendment.
Okay. Would you restate the motion, please?
Mr. Chair, it would be Senator Carlson is moving on R19, he's moving section 26 from the Senate along with section 31 from the Senate on R58. So it's the two sections at the same time, section 26 and section 31 from the Senate bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to speak against the motion. This was discussed in Representative Westrom's committee in the House, and there was a strong opposition to this provision be included at this time.
Question, Representative McNamara. Can you explain what the opposition might have been with that? It's clear in my mind.
It dealt with the decals and the way they were going to be on the vehicles, the cost involved, and what they were going to look like and such. I don't know if Mr. Meyer wants to, if he remembers the discussion, but I know there was a number of members in the committee that were opposed to the
Mr.
idea.
Mr. Mark, can you give us a little insight on Senator Gazelka had a question?
Well, more of a comment, Mr. Chair. I don't think there was any cost to it. This isn't my bill, but, you know, I have a boat, I have four-wheelers. you know, on four-wheelers, you have stickers, you know, related to how you operate it, the age of the operator, that kind of stuff. And I think our thought was this is a perfect education piece for people that just aren't that aware. And frankly, before I was here as a senator, I have a boat, and it really wasn't top of mind for me. And so this is something that we can do to really educate people in a simple way that's not expensive.
Mr. Meyer, if I could ask the question, and I remember the discussions being that more or less of an educational piece for the conservation officers out there, as well as when they pick up their new 3-year license, they would be issued this. In fact, they'd be sent out, as I remember. Could you comment on that?
Mr. Chair, members, thank you. Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. There's been discussion in both bodies on this issue. First, on the fiscal note side, it's a minimal fiscal note. The dollars would come out of the invasive species account, but we would provide them with boat registrations. They'd be available at bait shops and places like that. This issue or identification piece came from the stakeholders group, and what we're thinking of is emulating a piece of law that came out when they did the jet ski legislation years ago, providing a sticker that talked about safe operations, requirements, things like that, and that's what this would be. There was a lot of concern within the House about the sticker. The discussion came up, if you were in a canoe or kayak, where would you put the sticker? Things like that nature. So different watercraft, certainly on a fishing boat or a pleasure craft, there's a place for it right on the steering wheel or on your dashboard. But the alternative watercrafts that are out there, a sailboard, for example, things like that. You put it on the person in front of you as a life jacket. I mean, there's just a lot of questions came up about the practicality on how this piece would work.
Thank you. Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Meyer, would you be able to do this on a voluntary basis without any action in law and provide them to bait shops and such and encourage folks? Or could you even send this sticker to I've been carrying my little fishing boat renewal around for a while, so if I would go to renew it, if and when I ever do, I hope I do it before we start to put the boat in the water, because I think it must be up. But would you be able to do this potentially on a voluntary basis where it just wouldn't make criminals out of folks that may forget to put it on or something?
Mr. Chair, members, if this provision would not pass, I believe we would look at doing something like that anyway on our own.
Okay.
Can you, Mr. Mark, could you go through for the committee to understand what the sanctions would be for this voluntary, or excuse me, this sticker?
Mr. Chairman, members, right now you can see, in as we discussed on page R58, it is going to be a temporary for the first 2 years, shall not result in a penalty, but it will be published by a warning, and after that it will be a misdemeanor the way it's currently drafted.
Representative Dill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Meyer, this language doesn't appear to give any exclusions to anyone, so if you were a canoe operator in Ely and you had 300 canoes, you probably have to have 300 of these stickers. Is that correct?
Meyer.
Mr. Chair, yes.
Okay, and then, Mr. Meyer, if you were a canoe operator in Ely and someone came and had a rowing outfit for a 19-foot Grumman canoe, so then in this instance you'd put the sticker in the back of the canoe, because then it would be in full view of the operator, because when you row a canoe, you face backwards and row. And then when they put a motor on the back of it, now the sticker would be behind the operator and wouldn't be in compliance with the language, because now the motor operator would be facing forward, because the motor would be behind them. So this means that every canoe would have to have, if you had 300 canoes, you'd have to have 600 stickers to meet this requirement. This is kind of problematic, Mr. Chair. I'm not saying that I'm necessarily against it, but there's some unintended consequences that are involved in this. And I'm thinking about the next item I would question is, if you were in a 22-foot boat with a 200 horse on it and a remote running remote outboard that for a kicker to troll with, but you could run it from the steering wheels, you'd probably want the sticker mounted on the dash in front of you under the windshield. But if you then took the remote operated off and you put a manual operated one, you'd probably want a sticker back in the back, or you wouldn't be in compliance because it not, might not be in plain view of the operator because you're now operating the boat from the back. And so I think that there's a lot to be talked about here, and so I oppose the language.
Representative Dames. Senator Dames.
I think that we need to look at this more from an educational standpoint. I think we can go talk all night how we can find reasons why we don't want to do it, but I think in this situation, I think with the aquatic invasive species, we need to be looking at reasons why we should do it. And if we have so much concerns about putting it on a canoe, maybe we could just eliminate 12.5 and 12.6. That would eliminate where it has to be in full view of the operator. But I really do encourage us to support this decal deal. I think it's an educational piece. And for folks like myself that have a boat, it'd be kind of nice when you're taking the boat out, you see that and remember to do this, this, and this, and you may not always remember that. So I think it's really helping our constituents be more compliant with this and probably more cognizant of what the issue is with aquatic invasive species. And I think anything that we can do and help that in that area to help, we certainly need to be doing it. This is one of those areas in education where we could help ourselves by doing that. So I'd encourage the members to vote for that.
Thank you, Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Following Senator Dames' logic, I would amend my motion to accept Section 26, lines 12.1 through 12.5, eliminating the need or the problem of in full view of the operator. Leave it up to the boat owner to decide where they want to put it.
Everybody understand that amendment?
Mr. Chair, since he's the motion maker, he can just incorporate that into his amendment.
Any Representative Dill, any reaction to that?
That gets us closer, Mr. Chairman. I just think that there's still, as long as the word must is in 12.2, you're putting every commercial operator of rental boats, canoes and kayaks, into a problem area where you could be getting required to be getting thousands and thousands and thousands. In Ely alone, I have no idea how many canoes there are, but there must be well over 1,000 rental canoes just at Ely alone. And I mean, this would be a burdensome to the so I guess I would I have no problem with the amendment as stated, but I think that to pass the language we're going to have to change must to may on line 12.2.
Well, we'll deal with the First Amendment, unless you want to amend the amendment, Representative. Everybody understand the Carlson amendment? Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried.
No. Division.
Division has been asked. Everybody that's in favor of the Carlson amendment, raise their hand. The amendment fails.
Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if we can find some compromise here, and if we change on line 12.2 the must to a may, I think it would help Mr. Meyer and what they would try to accomplish, and then delete lines. Mr. Meyer, do you mind coming up if you could help? I'd like you to be able to send it out with the licenses if possible. If we change the must to a may on 12.2, would you want on 12.5 that the aquatic invasive species rule decal should be attached to the watercraft?
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, members, you know, if you're going to change it to a may, I don't think you need to say that it has to be attached. I think just by changing it to a may, if that's it, if that's your intent, allows us the ability to do whatever we need to do. We would probably include it in the mailings and provide it at many different locations as an educational opportunity. I don't think you need to say where it should be. I think
okay.
We can figure that out.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Meyer, if we change a must to a may, would that allow you in the instructions no different than you currently show us where to affix the Minnesota decal? Could you show the DNR recommended locations to display the sticker?
Mr. Chairman, we provide instructions on your dash or where, you know. Currently, if you go and your boat's inspected by one of our aquatic invasive species inspectors, they typically give you a sticker to put on your trailer to remind you to check your weeds, all the plants from your trailer. So we would provide them an opportunity and some instructions and probably additional education material as well.
Mr. Mayor, excuse me, Mr. Meyer, to that point, so by putting may instead of must, that's basically going to gut this section, isn't it? It's going to be basically worthless.
Mr. Chairman, we would be able to do this with or without the language if it is a may.
So, Mr. Meyer, if people say, oh, I'm just not going to put it on, they're okay. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, yes, and let me just go back to my opening remarks on this section, is that this was a piece that a lot of people in the stakeholders group really wanted. It makes sense to keep that constant visual reminder in people's head, especially when we're dealing with such an important issue. But trying to figure out how to deal with some of the practicalities as it came up in the House became burdensome, and it was removed there. So we did support, we do continue to support the Senate language.
Mr. Meyer, how would it work out to be a petty misdemeanor versus a misdemeanor? Would that be something a little more workable?
Mr. Chairman, yes. Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Meyer.
Major Smith has just brought to my attention a couple things regarding 86B and the way the penalties are written. So if you do decide to do this as a petty misdemeanor, we'll need to address that in 86B.
There's an original motion on the floor yet, correct?
I think that's McNamara's.
That's for the Carlson's motion.
Yeah. That one. No, that was that.
No, it was defeated.
This is for the mayor.
That was just in the.
Well, he kind of threw it out there. I don't think.
Oh, then there's no motion for that.
Well, because I did the amendment to take out this.
Well,
he didn't have it. But they're going to have
it. They say it was voted down, so.
No, I guess it was voted down.
Apparently they incorporated it. So, okay. Do another motion.
I don't care about special session. You can be casual about it, right? You can What special session?
Just string it out 3 years. They have to get registered in 3 years. They have to license. We did 2 years. Yeah. Just have no punishment for three. You get 3 years basically.
They're
going to
be shut. They're not going to mop them. There's just no one around.
Some discussion here with regards to amendment that we would offer and make this a petty misdemeanor, and we would ask the on line 12.5 after Watercraft the period. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If Mr. Meyer could tell us, in other words, we'd leave Section 26 the way the Senate's got it, except on line 12.5, put a period after Watercraft, and delete so as in the full view of the operator. If you could confirm, so somebody like myself that maybe was just doing this renewal, I could pick one up at a bait shop over any time period over the next 3 years once they become available, but I wouldn't be breaking the law until my next renewal would be up, because in the case of a commercial canoe operator may have a whole bunch of canoes just licensed that they would have until the next time the licenses come up. The decal would come with the licenses. They would have time, just as you have to put your decal on, to put this sticker on. They could put it on earlier. You probably would work with them. And then how would the fines work for the petty misdemeanor?
Mayor.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to bring Rodman Smith up to talk about that. But just real quickly on the sticker as well, we'll do everything we can provide stickers to commercial operators. And I would imagine if a person is pulled over and they don't have a sticker on their boat, we'll give them one and say you need to put this in plain view. I mean, it's about teaching people to do the right thing, not beating them over the head with a club. So we do appreciate the committee's concerns with this and willingness to work with us on it. And I'll let Mr. or Major Smith talk about the petty misdemeanor.
Okay, I think I'm going to have Mr. Knopf repeat the amendment here. We're talking about language. We're talking about a date on there as well as 2014. That's going to put it out 3 years. That's even better yet.
Mr. Chair, would be on page 58 to accept the Senate section 31 on page R58. Except it would be August 1st, 2014. So that way, everybody's registration should be up during that time period. It'll be because it's 3 years from this August. And then, so that would be accepting Section 31 on the Senate and Section 26 on the Senate with the following, and then also the department's recommending, I'm sorry, I only have one sheet of this, but I don't have copies. It's a watercraft owner who fails to obtain or display an aquatic invasive species rule decal, or a person who operates watercraft that does not display an aquatic invasive species rule decal in violation of Section 86B.508 is guilty of a petty misdemeanor.
That would be my motion. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All same sign? Great.
Thank you.
Do that. Next, Mr. Knopf.
Very good. Chair, I got to get back to where I was. Number 19. I think we're going to be able to do a number of these in quick order, but it'll take a little longer.
There's a promise that we're going to do quickly for a while now. So.
Mr. Chair, you've got the titling, the watercraft titling provisions. Those actually did get passed in the Senate today. It was on general orders last week in Senator Scheid's bill. The only addition in the Senate is we have a repealer that kind of goes along with the titling changes to make it more like a watercraft. They don't have the 15-day waiting period anymore. So if we're trying to make this so watercraft titles work the same as titles for motor vehicles, it would be to include a repeal of 86B.850. It's a waiting period to issue a new title certificate. The commissioner may not issue a new title certificate, a new certificate of title to a person acquiring watercraft under an application made on a duplicate certificate of title until at least 15 days after receiving the application. And that was because the bank held the title and not the person. That was the reason for that delay. There's no reason for the delay now because we're going to be sending the title out directly to the individual. That was added in the Senate. It made a lot of sense. Kind of goes along with the title changes that were done. It was non-controversial, kind of more of a technical cleanup of that titling provision.
Members understand that?
So it would be to include these sections along with the repeal of the section I just read. It would be including section 42 on the House, section 43 in the House, section 44, section 45, and then that repealer that's in the Senate file 172.
Mr. Chair, I'll move those sections on the House side with the repealer on the Senate side.
Everybody understand that? Senator Dames moves that. Everybody understand that? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All the same sign? Okay, carried.
And then, Mr. Chairman, we have a House only on leases and permits. On page R21.
Okay. Everybody in agreement with that?
Mr. Chair, what?
No, time out. Did you skip over 46?
No, I was just read 46.
Oh, I thought you were saying nobody was with it.
Representative McNamara.
Well, it's
Representative Dill.
No, I'll move that language. I'll move section 46 as amended.
Motion made by Representative Dill. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And then, Mr. Chairman, on the bottom page, R21, we're going to get a number. We've got, just the first two are identical. We have on the Minerals Coordinating Committee the extension and the change in membership. So sections 26 on the Senate, 47 in the House, and sections 26 and 27 in the Senate, and sections 47 and 48 on the House. I think you could do those all in one motion. Those are the same.
I'll move.
Representative Dill moves. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And Mr. Chair, the House just has, on the Citizens Oversight Committees, the House just has some technical, I'd consider them improvements to the Oversight Committees, so you could just adopt section 49 on the House side.
Also, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lemire so moves. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. I'm getting a double now. That's a double. It's for you guys that are hard of hearing.
And then that takes us all the way through the end of page R23. So we're on to R24. The Adopt a WMA program, as I can tell, is the same. The only difference is the House didn't include the purpose of it, and I don't think that really matters whether you include the purpose or not. So you could have just adopted the House provision, I think, without the purpose.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to adopt the House provision.
Representative Lemire makes that motion. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
And Mr. Chair, now we have one that could take a little longer. Section 27 on the Senate side, it deals the commissioner may require mandatory decontamination of boats participating in fishing contests on infested waters.
Mr. Chair, I'll move this Senate provision.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Both same sign.
And then, Mr. Chair, we have a house-only provision on the White Bear Conservation District, allowing them to set service fees. It's on page R25, and the language, important language, is 24.12.
Mr. Chair, I'd move this provision. It's Representative McFarland. I think it's more of a technical nature in regards to a process taking place currently in White Bear.
Mr. Chair.
Representative McNamara moves. Senator Gazelka.
I guess I would like some explanation to set service fees. What kind of fees? What is this about?
Representative McNamara. Does this raise fees?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gazelka, if I remember right, it was dock fees charged in the lake. If I'm not mistaken, Senator Gazelka, was their current way of doing it, and it may not have been completely correct.
Senator Gazelka.
Would you mind adding the word dock then?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, in their set dock service fees, would that be appropriate then? I guess without really knowing what the intent is, I'd really like to know.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gazelka,
Representative McNamara.
I understand that it also makes it consistent with what is being currently done in Lake Minnetonka. Sometimes, all too often, Senator Gazelka, if you're from up in God's country, but if you're one of the poor souls that live in the East Metro, we oftentimes are not treated quite as well as where Representative Depke's side of the Metro, where they have the big lake of Minnetonka, and they seem to be able to do so much better. And our poor East Metro and White Bear, we get picked on a lot, and we're trying to get some equity here, and poor Representative McFarland's just trying to get up near the level that Representative Depke's at.
Could we take a short recess? I'm tearing up after that.
Actually, so am I, Senator. I'm tearing up.
Senator Gazelka had a possible amendment to your idea. You were busy talking.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, I said, what would it be? Could it be set dock service fees if it is about docks, or is it more than docks?
Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gazelka, I don't know exactly. I know it's related to lake associations and how they work, but I just know that it's centered around dock fees. I'm sorry, I don't know more than that.
Mr. Meyer from the DNR, do you have any opinion?
Does it matter?
So what did he say?
He said he's coming to testify.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Senator Dames got me on a roll there. So this bill was heard in the House, and speaking with Representative McFarland, it was related to community docking, door docking, and mooring facilities. I think the language is just fine the way it sets. There's also language in statute that says nobody can charge a fee for entrance onto the lake. I mean, that was our initial concern with the language that was there. So those kinds of restrictions are covered. We had our staff look at this language, and they were comfortable with it at that time.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Myers, what other lakes are you familiar with that have this same arrangement where they have this language?
Mr. Chair, members, as Representative McNamara spoke of, Lake Minnetonka, this is specifically authorized in statute. So I know this 103B.661 is just for the White Bear Conservation District. I believe Minnetonka probably has the same type of situation, but that would be it.
We're being told two lakes, Minnetonka and White Bear. Representative Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative McNamara, would this be worth a ATV vote?
Senator Gazelka, if that means you're going to take the House position on all the ATV language, yes.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to point out that with this change, it will be exactly as it reads for Lake Minnetonka. I was just looking that up. It does say regular types of both permitted use of lake and set service fees.
Okay, Representative McNamara moved to accept the House language on page R25. It would be section 51. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And Mr. Chair, you can move on to R26. And there's a number of provisions here dealing with the clean water partnership law. And Senator Gazalka's bill in finance, and I checked through his bill. It looks like they're identical as far as the language in here. And I think if I remember right, I was handed an amendment, a delete all amendment for him, that I think was making it look just like the House bill. So there aren't any changes. We can go all the way through to R28, R29, all the way through R31, 30.10 on the House side. I think if you did all of that, that would take care of all the clean water partnership program.
Looking for a motion from...
I'll move that.
Senator Gazelka moves from... His motion includes page R26, 27, 28, 29, and portions of 30 up until...
All the way through on 30, Mr. 30. Chair, and then through the top of R31 on 30.10 on the House.
Everybody understand that, that motion? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
And Mr. Chair, now we have a bunch of Wetland Conservation Act changes, and there are just some fairly small. There's a few differences. One on R31, House has on 30.20 established solely for replacing wetland impacts under a permit to mine. The Senate just says wetland banking projects included in a permit to mine. So I think the House is a little more narrowly crafted. So that's a difference. Mr. Chair, I think you could take this pretty much all in one big motion. There's something else I want to call attention to. Also on R41, the House has, they limit the single user or other dedicated wetland banking accounts to those that are for mining. So those would be the only people who could use the dedicated wetland banking accounts or single user wetland banking accounts on R41. If you look at paragraph C on the bottom of the page. So, and then it also, the Senate had this replacement credit section, which was, the Senate was going to allow these to be more broadly used, these single user or dedicated wetland banking accounts, where the House is limited just to mining. So that's a difference. And then the only other difference is more of a technical. It's on page R42. You can see the Senate sentence on 13.1 to 13.2 and the House sentence on 40.33 to 41.2. And actually, I rewrote the sentence on the Senate side. I thought it read more clearly because the wetland areas on private lands aren't being preserved under this section. They're already preserved under another easement. And so it just seemed to me that it was a little backwards. So I had rewritten it to, I thought, be more clear. But that's just, so I just wanted to point out those differences. Otherwise, the Wetland Conservation Act portions of the bill are pretty similar.
Representative Dill.
I'll move the House language.
Any further discussion?
Yeah.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And Mr. Chair, on the demand for a hearing language on page R42, the difference is the Senate uses governing body of the municipality may file a petition. The House says that the council or board of municipality may file a demand. I don't think there's a lot of difference except for the just technically the way they're done.
Entertain a motion for...
I'll make a motion to accept the Senate language.
Representative Lemire moves to accept the Senate language on section 28. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
And Mr. Chair, the next two sections are the same on both Senate 29 and House 76.
What page, Mr. Chair?
That's on, excuse me, that's R43, is that correct?
Yeah, R42. It starts on R42 and then goes over to R43.
Can we get a motion for that?
I'll move it, Mr. Chair.
Representative McNamara moves. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All same sign.
And Mr. Chair, the next section 30 in the Senate and 77 on the House, is the only difference here is the House refers to a specific rule in statute. We try not to do that. And so what the Senate says is just defined in rules of the Department of Natural Resources. It's usually a best not to cite rules in the statute, and so the Senate didn't.
Move the Senate.
Mr. Chair, I'm on R43. It's section 30 on the Senate, 77 on the House.
I'll move the Senate language, Mr. Chair.
Senator Gazelka moves to have that those numbers taken. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Knopf, could you give me the difference again? I was on the wrong page.
Oh, Mr. Chair, the difference is if you look on 42.9, the House refers to specific rules of the Department of Natural Resources in the statutory provisions, whereas the Senate just says as defined in rules of the Department of Natural Resources broadly. So if they change the rules, recodify the rules, you don't have to change the statute later.
Senator Gazelka moves that those two be stricken on page R43. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All same sign.
Mr. Chair, now we've got some House-only provision on aquatic application of pesticides. Specifically defined the PCA's jurisdiction on that.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is some work that Representative Paul Anderson has done on the House. And I'm wondering if Mr. Kadelka could come forward. This is language that we worked with Mr. Kadelka to develop. And I believe the agency is okay with this language the way it's written.
Mr. Kadelka, welcome.
Mr. Chair and committee members, I did not quite catch there if it was a selection of the House language there, just pulling out the specific citation to the Minnesota rules and just referring to agency rules or adoption of the Senate. Talking with some stakeholders on the issue, there was a preference for the way the House was worded except for...
This was a DNR one.
Sorry, I believe I'm on the wrong section.
Mr. Kadelka.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Kadelka, I believe we're on section 78, the aquatic application of pesticide language. Are we not?
Yes. We're on page R44.
Mr. Chair.
Kadelka, would you like a few minutes to look at it? We can certainly come back.
Mr. Chair and committee members, sorry, I was on another issue that I jumped ahead on. However, on section 78, we do support the language as it is put in the House bill on this. This is something we've been working with Minnesota Department of Agriculture on also.
Mr. Chair, I'll move section. Do we want to, Mr. Knopf, are we doing, is 78 and 79 together?
Mr. Chair, they're different issues.
Okay, I'll move section 78. On R44, a House position.
Representative McNamara moves that. Representative Defke.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I wanted to ask the gentleman a question. We did a lot of investigation this summer, and when you're talking about aquatic nuance animals, what are you speaking of? Are you talking about zebra mussels there?
Mr. Kadelka.
Mr. Chair and Mr. The committee members, I will need to get the specific definition there, but I don't believe it necessarily is aquatic invasive species per se.
Okay, and I noticed that, and it's my understanding that this is that we're taking federal government guidelines on this. The reason I'm asking you this is we learned very much from the Corps of Engineers that we worked with very closely, and what they're finding on a lot of these aquatic invasive species and foreign species, that each state is coming up with a different way of eradicating or controlling these, they're very susceptible to temperature and, and that Minnesota is very different than Arizona or some of the other people that are experiencing invasion of these species. So I want to make sure that we have an opportunity to have state standards in this area, that we're able to pursue it in a way that's appropriate for our state, our climate, our temperature, and all those kinds of things.
Mr. Chair, Mr. committee members, I just was notified that this would allow for, this does cover the spraying for aquatic invasive species. However, this section here does not dictate a specific method of dealing with an aquatic invasive species. This deals with a recent court case on the federal level that states that there does need to be a NPDES permit to go about that treatment. It doesn't dictate the type of treatment for invasive species. It just says that type of spraying, aquatic application of pesticides need to be permitted. So in your example where you're talking about how we go about treating for zebra mussels or any other type of aquatic invasive species, that would still be left up to the state and the local jurisdictions on how they handle that, separate with the other state rules. This does not change that in any way.
Okay, I just wanted to ask, I apologize, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make sure, because we worked very hard also with the DNR, and it took us a couple of years to get approval to go forward with additional spraying in some of the bays in Lake Minnetonka. The DNR did give us approval, but they worked very closely with the Army Corps of Engineers. So I wanted to make sure we're not going through another permitting situation, that we are very happy with the DNR decision on that. So, but it doesn't sound to me that this is going to stop that in any way. Right. Yes.
Mr. Chair and committee members, we've been working very closely with the DNR on their aquatic permitting program and the Department of Agriculture on their terrestrial pesticide program to make sure we get as least amount of overlap as humanly possible.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair. Questions? McNamara? Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kadelka, the way I'm reading this, when you get down to subsection little b, you're not regulating permits for terrestrial applications. I'm assuming that what this is, you're exempting agriculture. Is that what that kind of is getting at?
Mr. Kadelka.
Mr. Chair and committee members, correct. This is kind of reiterating what you see in the beginning of the bill. I think it's section 3 where it talks about the Department of Agriculture having the oversight, section 2, where they have the oversight of the terrestrial application of pesticides. This is repeating that language to make sure that's clear in both sections of statute, no matter where someone's looking for it. The permits that would be offered under the MPCA would only deal with the aquatic application of pesticides and still leave the terrestrial application, which is those traditional ag chemicals and pesticides, under their jurisdiction.
And Mr. Chair, Mr. Gadelka, what I'm trying to get you to say into the tape is that agriculture is exempt. So if you would say that, I'd be happy.
Gadelka.
Mr. Chair, committee members.
Mr. Kadelka.
The only reason I hesitate is an example that I'm familiar with is the forest canopy pest and dealing with hybrid populars, where someone may call that an ag treatment. And in most cases, the application of ag pesticides are restricted by their use to be used in water. This would be explicitly situations where they're applying it into aquatic situations, where my understanding of the Department of Ag and a lot of the actual chemical directions, that is a forbidden practice already.
So, Mr. Chair, Mr. Kadelka, my understanding of the hybrid popple is they're all growing in a terrestrial application. They're not growing in water. Mm-hmm. So agriculture, and maybe the representative from the Department of Ag would want to come up here and help us with this, but I'd like to have somebody giving me some assurances that agriculture is exempt from this.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Greta Gothier, Department of Agriculture. Mr. Chairman, Senator Skoy, could you repeat your question, please?
Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Ms. Gothier, when I'm reading this on line 43.9, the agency shall not regulate or require permits for the terrestrial application of pesticides or other pesticide-related permit, except as provided in paragraph A, and then I go up and I read about mosquitoes and forest canopy pests and aquatic nuisance animals and vegetative pests and algae. When I read this, to me it tells me that agriculture is exempt. And I'm thinking about irrigation water, that kind of stuff in a farm field, and this is not going to apply to those situations.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Senator Skoy, the Department of Agriculture worked on this language with the Pollution Control Agency. It is our understanding is that this language would not apply to terrestrial applications of pesticides, but only to the applications listed on lines 43.1 through 43.4, which are aquatic, intended only aquatic applications, not terrestrial. The Department of Agriculture has regulated the terrestrial application of pesticides, as you know, for over two decades.
And, Mr. Chair,
Senator Skoy,
because a farmer on a cornfield that is irrigating might occasionally have an area by the irrigation unit or the irrigation pump where there might be a little ponding of water, because he's not dealing with mosquitoes, forest canopy pests, aquatic nuisance animals, and vegetative pests, none of this is going to apply to him or her.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Skoy, that is my understanding, yes.
Okay. Can I get some assurances from the MPCA that they are on the same page as the Department of Agriculture?
Mr. Kozelka.
Mr. Chair and committee members, that's our interpretation also.
Thank you.
Any further discussion on the McNamara Amendment to go with the House side on Section 78? Is that correct? Is that the amendment? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Mr. Chairman, you next have a House position.
Thank you.
On Section 79. Now, this is the same provision that's in the Dames bill, and that's it was requested, I don't know if you remember, but Ramsey County came to the committee. I think Ramsey is the only county in the state that all of the towns and cities within the county have adopted these ordinances, so the county doesn't need really to adopt its own. The only I would request is if you could get rid of that such on 43.14. We've been trying to keep these out. I know Senator Frederickson made it a mission of his when he was here. It would be you could just delete such and insert the on 43.14.
Mr. Chair, I'll move Section 79 as amended.
What was his suggestion?
Senator Dames moves Section 79 as amended to take out the word such and put in the. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, the next section, Section 1 on the Senate and Section 80 on the House are the same. There's a slight difference in the next one. These are part of your bill, Mr. Chairman. And the House, again, cites rules in the statute and then says, or any other facility permitted. All of these facilities are permitted. They may be permitted by rule, but they are. I actually did a little research on that while we were on break. What I would recommend, but apparently some people want the comfort in the House language, what I would recommend is delete Minnesota Rules Part 7035 and so on up through the comma and just insert as outlet, basically just delete in rule in Minnesota Rules and insert in Rules of the Agency. So it would be Materials Processing Facility as outlined in Rules of the Agency or any other facility permitted to recycle. I think that would take care of some discomfort with the Senate language, but which I don't, like I said, I still think it works, but.
I will
okay.
We'll certainly move that. Any further discussion?
And Mr. Chair, you'll be moving both those two sections in. It'd be section 80 and 81 on the House.
Okay, section 80 and 81. Does everybody understand that? Hearing no more discussion, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Mr. Chair, there's a few sections here that deal with the landfill cleanup program, and the House added a little language on 44.14, where it says no further response actions are required on the portion of the property being disposed of under sections 51. And it seems like it's appropriate to say that. I think it was assumed on the Senate side, but I don't think that. Would cause any problems. So you could just take the House sections 82, 83, and 84.
Representative McNamara.
I'll move those sections.
McNamara moves those sections. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.
And then, Mr. Chair, we've got the environmental permit plan timeline. The House only applies if there's an environmental review done, and then the state agencies will coordinate the permit decisions. If on the Senate side it was broader than that, it included all multiple permits given by agencies, whether environmental review was required or not. If it wasn't required, then the Department of Administration would select the agency. On the House side, it's just dealing where environmental review is required, Section 85.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the Senate's language.
Senator Dames moves the section, is it 3?
15.
I'm sorry, 15.
I think they wanted the House.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's asking for the Senate. I thought they wanted the House.
Oh. Mr. Chair, yeah. I'll withdraw that motion.
Senator Dames withdraws his motion.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the House language.
Representative McNamara moves the House language on R46. And that's what section? Section 84, is that correct?
85.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And then, Mr. Chair, brings us to the environmental review part. Ms. Taylor had an amendment earlier that you adopted that made this part of the when prepared for the biobutanol facility makes it look just like what's in the budget bill. And then the other issue, that's one part where we're different. The other thing is the Senate's in two sections, so what you have to look at is on R48, you've got the House sit on 46.26, who reside or own property in the state, and it's 100 individuals. But then the Senate, you have to look on page R51, and you'll see it's the 100 individuals on page on 14.23 to 14.25, it's 100 individuals who reside or on property in the county or an adjoining county where the proposed action will be located. So there's a difference there. I think the biobutanol thing has been taken care of, but I don't know that there's agreement on this particular
point. Mr. Chair.
Senator Gazelka.
I'd like to move the Senate language with an oral amendment on page R51. Line 14.23, instead of 100, I would like to change that to 75. And the reason I'm doing it this way, Mr. Chair, is I think, there's a discussion about whether it should be, it used to be all of the world, and 25 people could sign a petition that would require somebody to do one of these studies. We changed it in the Senate to 100. And it had to be the in the county or adjoining counties where this was required. And so I realize the House language is 100, but all of Minnesota, I would like to compromise and move that down to 75, but still keep it local. I'm concerned about particularly northern Minnesota, people from anywhere in Minnesota saying we don't like what's happening up there and we want to stop it. And so this I think, still has common sense, but it's a compromise of the two.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Gazelka, I appreciate you trying to get closer to the House, but we worked long and hard on this issue, and I think that our numbers have peace in the valley, so I would have to oppose your amendment.
Any further discussion to the Gazelka amendment, which drops the basically the numbers down from 100 to 75? And it has to be adjoining county.
Yeah.
Everybody understand that amendment? Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Division. All in favor of the amendment, raise your hand. Against? Maybe keep it down.
Yeah, we need a little exercise.
Yeah, that's right. Amendment does not pass.
Mr. Chair, I would move the House position.
Representative McNamara moves the House position. Any further discussion? Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative McNamara, can you tell me who Peace in the Valley is with? I need to know where we're at.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Gazelka, I do appreciate where you're coming from in the effort to get some more, because truly the 25 people anywhere, literally, was way too broad. I think moving to 100 statewide is a huge step forward. It is something that the agency has said that they can go along with, and a number of the environmental groups have said this is something that they can live with. So in an effort to get this bill and begin down the process of getting the governor to sign good legislation adopted by conference committees, that's kind of who's got Peace in the Valley. I mean, we could have, if you want the agency, come forward, if you'd like, Senator Gazelka.
Senator Gazelka.
Mr. Chair, I'm not really concerned about the agencies in this case. It's the businesses that are trying to expand and having to pay $300,000, whatever they need, because some, in this case, maybe some people from the Twin Cities that may be working for an environmental agency don't like what's happening in northern Minnesota and throw a wrench in a project that passes on unnecessary expenses. That's my concern. I'm just wondering if you would take it as a friendly amendment if we had the House language, but we inserted the county and adjoining counties at 100, or is that the issue for you, that you want all of Minnesota?
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Gazelka. I believe that we have found a compromise between the business community, the agency, the legislature, and the environmental group, and we really need to stick to the House position.
Any further discussion on the McNamara motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All same sign?
Aye.
Nay.
Aye. Aye. Carries.
Mr. Chair, now we're actually really over all the way to the bottom of page R52 and R53, and we're getting into the off-highway vehicle discussion you had earlier. So there's a number of sections here, and there's a number of sections at the beginning of this side-by-side that you didn't adopt yet. I didn't know if you wanted to do that at this point.
Mr. Knopf, Representative McNamara has a number of sections here and an amendment, I believe, that he'd like to offer. So let's make sure we do it right. And Representative McNamara.
Well, maybe, Mr. Chair, if it's okay, I'll just pass this sheet and let, or maybe I will read them, and Mr. Knopf can and Ms. Taylor can go along with me. I would like to move the parts of the ATV House bill, and I will move the sections, and then when I'm done, I will say the well, first let me just say I am not going to move sections 9, 10, and 11 that were part of the ATV bill. They will not be included in my motion. And now I will move all the other ATV sections to adopt. They are 6, 7, 13, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, and 95. It is all the ATV. I believe members and staff that it's okay just to say we're going to move all the ATV sections
except 8, I'm sorry, except 9, 10, and 11.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I, my apologies, Representative McNamara, but we had a point of order on the last vote. I believe that we did not have enough votes to pass that amendment, so I would call for a division on that.
Mr. Chair, point of order.
Representative McNamara.
I just wanted to say that's already been adopted, and we're on other business.
You can't go back, so it's the order. The point of order is overruled, I guess you would say.
Can you bring a subject back, though?
To the amendment.
Are we talking about McNamara's?
McNamara's amendment. Mr. Knopf, could you comment on the numbers that have been given to you there and recorded?
Well, Mr. Chair, it's all of the House off-highway vehicle provisions except, and I went through those earlier today, but I don't need to do that again. It's all the provisions except 9, 10, and 11 on page R5. Those sections are not included in his motion. But it would be the remaining provisions, including allowing non-oxygenated gasoline to be used by a manufacturer or to be used in testing vehicles, off-highway vehicles. So that's the motion. It would be everything that the that was in House file or in the House version of Senate File 1115.
Mr. Knopf, for a point for discussion, 9, 10, 11. I'm sorry.
Those are the definitions of all-terrain vehicle, Class 1 all-terrain vehicle, and Class 2 all-terrain vehicle.
Does everybody understand? Senator Gazelka.
Mr. Chair, I think this is the right time. I think I have an amendment to the amendment GK015. I believe this is a friendly amendment if I'm...
Senator Gazelka moves the GK015 amendment to... Amendment to the motion. Any discussion? Through the Gazelka amendment to the motion. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
So now, Mr. Chair, you have to do the McNamara motion that includes the Gazelka amendment.
Representative McNamara renews his motion, including the Gazelka GK015 amendment. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
Mr. Chair, that brings us to page R55, section 96 on the House side. It strikes some language that fees that county board collects for parks cannot exceed that of state parks. I don't think we heard this at all on the Senate.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a issue in my local county. It was one that Representative Holberg carried. It would allow Dakota County Parks, specifically, I know as one, to charge a fee that they would like to charge in their regional parks. I believe under current law they may be limited to the state park fee, even though in some cases they may have services beyond what the state parks have. They're currently limited to just that fee, and this would lift that limitation.
Representative McNamara, is this a fee-raising amendment that you're bringing forward here, or a bill? Can you explain it a little better to me?
Mr. Chair, if I know there is a representative for Dakota County in the audience, and maybe Mr. Tilley could explain how this relates. I believe it relates to Dakota County regional parks, or maybe all regional parks.
Tilly, welcome to the committee.
For the record, my name is Barry Tilly. I represent the Dakota County Board of Commissioners. Actually, Mr. Chairman, this was not brought forth by the county. It was a citizen in Representative Holberg's district that thought the counties ought to have this authority. In my discussions with the other county implementing agencies around the region, nobody knew what we were restricted, and we never intended to collect more. But then again, my prime directive from Dakota County is if we get more money or authority, we support it. If we have less money or less authority, we oppose it. So, yes, Mr. Chairman, we will support this, but it was not our initiative.
Mr. Tilly, how much money are we talking about here for the year, for the biennium?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a clue. Roughly, it's less than 10% of the total costs of the regional parks are paid for with entrance fees. In the case of Dakota County, and I expect all the others are, we charge fees for the picnic shelters. We charge fees at our campgrounds. We don't have admission fees. We don't have parking fees. We have rental fees for boats and kayaks and that sort of thing, but basically less than 10% of our total park budget is paid for with the fees that we collect.
Members, I understand this particular fee here allows the county to do that. We don't have any numbers on it, but Representative McNamara, maybe you could better describe it here. We're a little concerned about the idea of raising fees, even though we have local control here. But can you just give us a little better idea as to?
Well, it's my understanding, and Mr. Tilly could maybe correct me if I'm wrong, that current law restricts the regional parks to not charge a fee higher than the state parks. And this is an opportunity at this time when we're putting more and more, having this tough budget times, that we would allow more local control. I don't think it's saying any fees will be increased. It would allow Dakota County, especially in a case where you maybe have expanded services available at a regional park, you may have swimming pool and camping or canoes available or different amenities there that would allow the park to charge a structure that is more in line with the services they're delivering.
I think it's more of a local control issue in allowing the counties to have some flexibility. I don't think there's anything in here that says they have to charge this. It's just deleting that such fees shall not exceed that described in state parks.
And yes, Mr. Chairman, like I said, Dakota County or any of the other counties did not bring this forward. It was a citizen and representative of Holdsburg's district that somehow knew this existed. None of our parks people knew it even existed. I can't imagine we charge any more or will ever charge any more than the state parks charge, but it does give us more authority if we have that situation arise. I do know that some implementing agencies have water parks, and they charge fee for that. Dakota County does not have a water park. Some of those fees are higher to pay for the facilities that they've invested, the capital costs. I don't think the state parks have water parks, so there wouldn't be a fee for them to charge more of. So,
so I understand this, and Mr. Knopf, maybe you can help me, but if we adopt this language, then Dakota County can charge as much as they want, even past what the state parks are charging?
Mr. Chair, that'd be correct. I assume that legislators in previous years may have put this in when they were giving them the authority to make sure that they didn't go above what state parks were charging. But
the Metropolitan Regional Park System began in mid-70s, I believe, and so Mr. Knopf might be correct in that regard. The counties have citizens that are very price sensitive. I just can't imagine our county board or any other county board getting up. The most of the users in our parks are our own citizens. I just can't imagine we would ever exceed any reasonable fees on anything in the parks. They're very, very popular in our county. They are always ranked one or two in every other year. Our county board does a opinion poll. They are always ranked one or two of what the citizens like and want to see more of in our county.
Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if we can move beyond this one for a little bit. Well, I do some consultation and research so I can be better informed.
We'll come back to this after the last one.
Mr. Chair, the next thing is the subsurface sewage treatment systems ordinance adoption delay. There was an amendment handed out earlier today been by Ms. Taylor on this. And the House had 2014 for the date. The Senate bill, Senator James bill, still says 2016 for all systems. And I think that the amendment was intended to be, it's the S-1115-810.
Mr. Chair.
Nobody's got it yet.
We'll hand out the amendment here.
Mr. Chair, I would move the A-10 amendment.
Senator Dames moves the S-1115-A-10 amendment. And Senator Dames, we're going to let everybody take a look at this first. Senator Dames renews his motion. Any discussion at all? Members, do you understand the amendment?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, I do not understand the amendment.
Representative Deputy, we'll have legal counsel go ahead and describe this.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, what it does is last year there was an extension done to when counties have to adopt ordinances complying with the new rules of the Pollution Control Agency. And this is going to give them an additional 2 years till 2014 to comply with those rules for subsurface sewage treatment systems.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hancock.
Just a little further clarification. There was some discussion, I remember, about the volume size, and this would extend the size application to a little bit more of a commercial application.
Mr. Chair,
Dames.
This would extend the daily flow of over 2,500 gallons and under 2,500 gallons. It would extend them both to 2014. As I understand, there's about 30 of these systems. There's very few systems that go in over the 2,500 gallons, and we really need to take a look at who's going to have the responsibility for those systems. Is it going to be the MPCA or is it going to be the counties? And I understand that you can't have counties responsible for those 2,500 gallon ones if you've got 30 a year and they've got to keep staff on to deal with those. We need to come to some resolution on that, so that's why those are included to the 2014 also.
I was just wanting to make, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hancock.
I was just wanting to make sure that that was included because my county commissioner wants that time. So, okay.
Good.
Any further questions on the Dames Amendment? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
And Mr. Chair, on R56, you've got the Shallow Lakes Management Report. They're pretty much the same. A couple of differences on 52.18 on the House side to 52.19. The House specifically adds drainage law under Chapter 103E to the list of things that they're supposed to include. And then on 52.22 and 52.23, they specifically add the terms including tarp and the use of fish barriers. It's specifically mentioned. Otherwise, it's the same. The Senate just keeps with the broader language for this.
The House language a little more descriptive then, is that correct?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. Well, there are some things that are specifically mentioned so that the department will have to include those in the report. It ensures they're included.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe at least one and maybe even both of these, maybe Mr. Meyer could comment, but I believe they were Representative Hansen and or Representative Wagenius initiatives in regards to the Shallow Lakes report, and I, because they were floor amendments, if I'm not mistaken, the department's never had a chance to speak up on them.
Mr. Chairman, members, the Shallow Lakes language on R56, we did testify in the Senate. I believe it's in the, I think this language is in the Game and Fish Bill in the Senate as well. Oh. But it is an issue that was brought to us at the beginning of the year with the Ducks Unlimited. It's the next step in our duck plan, basically helping us direct some of the future Lassard SAM dollars for restoration of Shallow Lakes activities. So the language, I'm not sure how the language differences came about, and maybe it was just working on the language in committee in the Senate where the small tweaks came into play. But
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Meyer, the language tweaks are on the House side. They've added some language. On Clause 4, when it says a list of current statutes and rules applicable to shallow lakes, including but not limited to water level management of shallow lakes and drainage law under Chapter 103, they specifically add in and drainage law under Chapter 103E. And then on the list of any changes to statute necessary that would allow the commissioner through Shallow Lake to better achieve state's wildlife habitat and clean water goals and addresses the threats of invasive species, the House specifically added including carp and the use of fish barriers. So there are some specific items that would have to be contained in the report on the House side.
Mr. Meyer.
Can I?
Oh, Representative McNamara, I'm sorry.
Thank you. And Mr. Meyer, the ABLE staff here just reminded me it was an amendment that came on in Environment Committee, and I don't know if you got a chance to speak to it. We're not wedded to the language. If it is too descriptive or ties your hands too much, Mr. Meyer, it doesn't really matter. I think this is something we're mostly on the same page in the direction we're going here. I don't know if we have to get this prescriptive or if you have feelings either way.
Mr. Chair, members, actually, the language in the House is non-prescriptive. It's including but not limited to. I think many of these, if not all of them, would be addressed under the Senate language as well. So it's really up to the committee.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the House position on this.
Representative McNamara moves the House position.
Mr. Myers?
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think there's a concern about an ag issue on the Senate wording on line 52.18 about the drainage law under Chapter 103E, and
Mr. Chair, maybe Mr. Myers could talk to us a little bit about how the drainage law would be applicable to this shallow lake management. I don't see the connection there, and I don't understand why they'd want to take a study at that when they're managing these shallow lakes for duck habitat.
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, members, the drainage issues that we've discussed at some level deal with some interconnectedness at some point in time of the tile, but moving these minnows and rough fish from one water body to another, a preferred water basin is one that doesn't have a lot of fish in there for shallow lakes or for waterfall production to keep clear water, to keep aquatic plants and the small shrimp and things like that, as many as possible within the water stream. So that's where the drainage actually came in. This is something that I believe the drainage work group that's been going on for some time is also kind of thinking about it. It's come up there a couple of times. But so that's how we specifically got into the drainage discussion within the House Environment Committee.
Any further discussion, members? I'm not liking the House version of this, so I would ask to vote against the McNamara amendment. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the McNamara amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign?
No.
No. Doesn't carry. I knew that.
Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate language.
Senator Carlson moves the Senate language. Any further discussion? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign?
And Mr. Chair, we can move on to R57. We've got the consumptive use of water, section 18 on the Senate, section 99 on the House.
Chair.
Well, before Mr. Knopf explains this, I intend to move the House language at some point, but I need to have Mr. Meyer and Mr. Hirsch come up and talk about a problem I think is in this language, if I could. Mr. Chairman.
Representative
Dill. Mr. Meyer, Mr. Hirsch, I'm reading on line 52.32. And I remember our negotiations on this on the House language. And it says, the permit authorized under this section shall be suspended if the flow of the Poplar River falls below 15 CFS for more than 5 consecutive days, period. Now, I looked at that language and I thought about what we agreed on. And I thought we agreed on that it would resume when the river restored its flow above 15 CFS. But I don't believe that's what this language says. It just says it shall be suspended. It doesn't say revoked. It says suspended, and I think I'm not comfortable with that as we go forward. So I'd like to hear from you about it and possibly propose a small amendment to this.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dill, the intent of the language is it would be suspended under those conditions, but if it went back above the protected flow, then the permit would be reinstated.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I could ask them then if they would be opposed to something like this. If after the word 5 consecutive days period, we put the words, the permit authorized under this section shall be reinstated when the Poplar River resumes a flow of 15 CFS.
Mr. Chairman, sure. Representative Dill, that's the way it's intended to work.
Okay, so, Mr. Chairman, what I'd like to do is move the House language with that amendment.
Mr. Knopf, could you...
Oh, Mr. Chair, could you repeat?
Sure. Mr. Knopf, I would take the language that... and I'm going to duplicate the language that's in the last half of 5232. It begins with the word, the permit authorized under this section shall, and then add to that, be reinstated when the Poplar River resumes a flow of 15 cubic feet a second, and all of that would go on line 5234 after the word days, period.
Senator Scoy.
I'll let Representative Dill finish his motion there, but then I have a question.
Mr. Knopf, let me know when you're clear. As soon as he's done, we'll have him repeat it.
Mr. Chair, if I got this right, let me read back to you what I've written down on it, and I think it's what you said. Mr. Chair, it's on 52.34, after the first period, insert, the permit authorized under this section shall be reinstated when the flow of the Poplar River resumes above 15 cubic feet per second.
And, Mr. Chairman, it would be a flow of 15 cubic feet per second.
Yeah, I had when the flow of the Poplar River. I was using the language as it's in there.
Okay. So the intent of the amendment is that we recognize that when it flows below 15 CFS for 5 days, that they would have to discontinue withdrawing water. And then when it returns above 15 CFS, they could begin taking water back out.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hirsch, I understand your concerns about the minimum flow in the river. I think usually there is a study done to determine the what the minimum flow in cubic feet per second actually is that would be below where the resource might be affected. I understand the time probably doesn't permit that. But my question is about monitoring and how you're going to determine what's going on with regard to the 15 cubic feet per second in the wintertime. It's a challenge to do. We know that ice backs water up and it doesn't flow the same. And I'm wondering exactly how you're going to kind of go into this to determine if there's been 15 cubic feet per second for more than 5 days and when it would return and what kind of process the department's thinking about in that regard.
Mr. Chairman, and Senator Scoy, you're correct. It is more difficult to measure the flow in the winter, but it can be done, and we actually do have a flow monitoring station at the on the Poplar River down below where the water intake is, and so we will be able to do that. There's some additional, and I'm not familiar with all the technical ins and outs of it, but there's some additional work that you do in the winter to verify the data you're getting off the flow meter. So.
Thank you. And there is a flow monitoring station below the appropriation point, so you can monitor.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scoy, yes.
Oh, very good. I didn't know that was there. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, go ahead, Mr. Meyer.
To the first part of Senator Scoy's question about the 15 CFS, that is actually below the 90% flow rate. What we usually do when we do a surface water appropriation permit, it's tied to what they call as the Q90. It's the level that when that surface water, or the stream in this case, is only flowing at 10%. This value here is one that came up last week in discussions with the House. That's actually below the Q90 level. So the 15 cubic feet per second is a flow rate that is less than 10% of the flow. We did have some concerns about that. Our biggest concern was tying it to some level of appropriation. If you'll see in our letter that we handed out, DNR is committed to working with Lutzen to find a permanent, sustainable source of water to meet their needs. We require a permit that is based on a protected flow of the Poplar River and also provides a sunset to the permit that provides time for Lutzen to actively pursue a more sustainable long-term source of water for their ski hill snowmaking. And we also would prefer a five-year, rather than a five-year permit, we had hoped for a permit of no more than 3 years, but talking with some members, I understand 5 years is kind of where things may or may not be at, but ourselves and other stakeholders involved in this issue feel that 5 years is too long of a permit time frame for this issue.
Well, and Mr. Chair, just quickly, I guess a comment, or maybe this can be a question. During this 5-year time period, you're going to look for an alternative water source, perhaps. But I would be hopeful that you'd also look at the fishery and see if it truly is an impact on the fishery, because I understand of the slope in this area, there might not be fish that would be in there, and it might not be much of an impact. So hopefully you'd be looking at that also, because, you know, maybe this is a permanent solution through your permitting process, of course.
Mr. Chair, I think this is an agreement that's kind of been worked out amongst a lot of the players to kind of get some peace in the valley, and I would encourage the members to vote for the House portion of this with the amendment.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, I just tweaked this a little bit. I want to make sure that Representative Dill is okay. The problem was if it got back to exactly 15 feet, so I just changed it to when the flow of the Poplar River resumes to 15 cubic feet per second or greater. So it's a mirror image of what you have on the other part.
Yeah, I think all we're doing, Mr. Chairman, is just clarifying what the agreement was between the owner, the department, and the various legislators that have been involved in this activity.
Thank you. Representative Dill renews his motion. Members, I've been involved in this negotiation as well, and talking with the interested parties with regards to the fishing groups, and it certainly is a concern. But at the same time, it's been going on many years. It's been going on a long time, and I hope as the DNR moves forward here that we get this thing resolved. This is kind of a long way out there. I certainly understand that, Mr. Meyer. I understand 3 years would be better than five, but when we've been letting it go, that doesn't make it right, but we've been letting it go this long, it's certainly going to eventually put something to the resolve. So. Okay, to the Dill amendment, everybody understand it? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Carries. Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair, if Mr. Meyer and Mr. Hirsch could stay there for a second. I did have an amendment and forgot to get it copied. It's one we talked about just before we reconvened from recess. It asked for an annual report back to the DNR commissioner from Lutzen on the progress they're making on finding a different water source. I believe staff is just copying it. If we could, I don't know if the DNR wants to comment on it, and I'm paraphrasing the amendment. I apologize. I forgot about it and spaced it out, but it was a commitment I had made to the DNR and working back and forth, and maybe Representative Dill could comment on it.
Representative Dill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. And I think that there is one thing that virtually every organization agrees to, that we should take a strong look, if not do, a public water supply from Lake Superior. It makes, to me at least, on the surface, assuming there's no unforeseen circumstances, that we wouldn't do that. It would seem logical. That being said, I'm questioning on, I haven't seen the McNamara Amendment. I support the idea of the McNamara Amendment. My question, Representative McNamara, when he has a moment, is your amendment going to talk about Lutzen, the town of Lutzen being a progress, or Lutzen Mountain Corporation, or who is going to be making the report to the department? Maybe we need to have Jeremy come up.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Dill, it was... It would be, and I see the representative for the facility here, it would have the facility write a letter annually to the DNR commissioner. It would be Lutzen Mountain. It would be a letter. I envision it as a letter from Lutzen Mountain once a year on the progress they're making on moving forward to find alternative or working on alternative water source, maybe an update on easements and how they're going, or different things, different looking at funding sources.
Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, my name is Jeremy Estenson with Leonard Street and Dinard here on behalf of Lutz and Mountain Corporation. As Representative McNamara and I have discussed this, it was our hope and my understanding that this letter would be written by the resort, but would be in consultation with local partners, the DNR, and other stakeholders.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative McNamara, perhaps in your amendment you'd want to have the DNR address the impacts on the fishery. I'm not exactly sure that there are any. I mean, you know, they've been taking water out of this creek now for 50 years. They're still trout upstream and downstream. I mean, I think you're presuming that the only solution is another water source, and I'm not sure you want to make that presumption today.
Representative McNamara.
Well, that's an interesting discussion, Senator Scoy, and it looks like the department would like to comment on that.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scoy, the only thing I would say on that is that we really can't evaluate the impacts on the fishery because this has been going on for so long, we don't have any baseline to compare it to right now. The only way to really evaluate it would be to stop the appropriation and then see what happens with the fish population. Because right now we've got a situation where there's been water taken out of the stream continually during what are at least at times marginal low flow conditions. And so we don't know if what we've got is part of what would be there naturally or it's not as high as what would be there naturally. And really, we really can't do a good evaluation under the current conditions.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hirsch, but Representative McNamara, with your study language, you're just presuming that the only solution is going to be another water source, and you know you're talking about moving pretty significant gallons of water up 1,000 feet, 3 miles away. Somebody's going to pay a pretty significant electric bill for that. I think you ought to pay if there's trout in the stream and they've been taking water for 50 years, you don't know what the impact's been. And we're just kind of assuming that it's not a long-term solution, and I don't know, maybe it is. We don't know that.
Give a minute here to the stakeholders to take a look at the amendment.
Mr. Chair, while we're looking at that.
Senator Gazelka.
To the Lutzen advocate, do you know what the cost would be if they decided you weren't going to get any more water from the stream, how much it would cost Lutzen to get water somewhere else?
Mr. Estenson.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gazelka, what we know is an estimate given to us a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, for just capital costs, and at that time it was estimated someplace between $3.5 and $4 million to pump water from Lake Superior. In terms of, I guess I'm not sure of other options.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if I can just follow up, I concur with Senator Scoy that we need to be really careful that we don't just jump into something and just expect them to incur another $3.5 million just because we think so.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the representative from Lutzen, what kind of an impact would those dollars have on the viability of Lutzen Mountain continuing business?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carlson, those dollars, I guess I haven't discussed that with the owner necessarily, but he's indicated that he does not have the resources to do that right now. We're also concerned about the 5-year timeline, but we negotiated with the DNR and other stakeholders to try to come up with something that we felt at least might get us down the pathway. So I'm unsure what it might mean for the viability, but I do know that they do not have those capital resources right now.
Chairman.
Representative Bill.
I just want to, not really pertinent necessarily to the amendment, but I just wanted to throw into this conversation at this point. Doesn't appear that we have a problem with the language, except maybe we need to discuss the amendment. But The two other facilities that I'm aware of that are similar are Spirit Mountain and Giants Ridge. And when I was chair of the IRB board, we built a $2.5 million water intake and pipeline to feed the mountain with public money. And I learned on the House floor that the Spirit Mountain in Duluth is a publicly owned facility and a publicly owned facility that gets its water from the Duluth water supply, which comes from Lake Superior, or actually St. Louis River, and that it was all publicly financed as well with bonds as well as the ski hill and everything. So the point I'm making is that, you know, this is going to be a substantial, like going to represent or Senator Gazelka's point, this is going to be a phenomenal cost if it is predisposed that it's in Lake Superior. Now, my sense tells me that it's going to come from Lake Superior, because I know that Lutzen Mountain has indicated to Senator Bach and I that they want to expand in the future. And if we're pushing the Q90 already with 15 CFS, it's probably going to have to come from somewhere else. But I also agree with Senator Skoy that I'm not absolutely convinced that on the side of a ski hill that the trout are very prolific in the first place. And granted, they have to have water running all the way down the hill because they are very prolific at the confluence of the lake and the river. But this is really a tricky area here. And I'm expecting that this is going to have to receive some public financing to make it feasible at some point. Either the city, the town of Lutzen creates some type of municipal water system, or the something is going to have to happen that makes this feasible. And my concern was, is when the amendments came forward in 3 years, that we wouldn't even have time to consider that. I mean, by the time you do a feasibility, time you do design and specifications, by the time you get easements, and, you know, most of the landscape up there is dominated by federal land, and we're not even sure that there's not federal land between the ski hill and the lake. So, I mean, these are all questions that have to be answered. So I certainly support the amended version of what we moved in the House, and then maybe we can have some more discussion on the McNamara amendment, which I actually, when I first read it, thought it was pretty simple.
Mr. Chair, after listening to Senator Skoy, I'll withdraw my efforts. I never even moved it, but I will not move what I guess is labeled as the A11. We've had some good discussion, and Senator Skoy and Senator Carlson make some good points. Mr. Esteson has noted the situation they're in, and I think he's interested in working with the DNR. Senator Gazelka, you're doing a good job.
Mr. Chair. Representative Dill.
I'll renew my motion to the House language as amended.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move back to Section 96 on R55. I again would like to renew my motion that Section 96 is this is the important mandate relief that would allow our county's park systems to have more flexibility and operate a little bit more without the state getting totally involved in their operations, and I would appreciate members' support.
Representative McNamara moves this amendment to allow, Section 96. Members, I'm in favor. I would stand in favor of this. Bottom line is it gives the regional parks the opportunity to raise fees. And I know that's a touchy subject this session, and it should be done wisely by the counties. But here's the real catcher here is that the counties or the regional parks have that opportunity to do it. If they decide to raise fees, they're the ones that raise the fees. So I would certainly support the motion. Further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Mr. Chair, we've got the rulemaking provision. The House includes rulemaking for the Pollution Control Agency. to extend permit terms to 10 years and take into account site capacity. The Senate has that, but it also has a rulemaking with the Environmental Quality Board on the environmental review process for these facilities, and would also, it basically says the project review shall be for the ultimate design capacity of the site based on the requirements of the category, and the responsible government unit shall review the proposed project in conjunction with any existing facility impacts and shall not modify or change the project without approval of the proposer. So that's the Senate just has some as an additional rulemaking provision, and the House just has the one piece.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dames.
I would move we accept the Senate's version of Section 17, and I'll also request a roll call vote at that time.
Roll call vote has been requested. All members, Section 17, Senator Dames moves. Any further discussion? Senator McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering if someone from the agency could explain what the differences are that we'd be voting on here.
Well, Kadelka, did you understand the question?
Mr. Chair and committee members, I did. And for the record, Kirk Kadelka from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Section 100 on the House version, Section 17 on the Senate version. The House version is the language the agency prefers. This would, on the House side, Section 100 would just change the permit length for landfills from a term of 5 to 10 years and then give us the authority using the good cause exemption to go in and make those changes right away in a rapid manner so that the change could be instituted. The Senate position, which you're voting for right now, makes that change from the 5 to 10 years on permits, but then also that Subdivision 1 changes the way environmental review is done for landfills. And the agency's concern really falls into two categories. The first is those line 16.27 and the 16.29 really puts it into a situation where the project proposer is calling the shots on what the defined project is, this full outline of it, whether it brings in the case of a landfill something else possibly. It also, for our reading of it, we have concerns that it prohibits us from putting any stipulations into a permit without the project proposer also agreeing to it, which would be a problem for us. The change here puts the proposer, not the state, in the driver's seat of determining when environmental review is to be done, which is opposite from all the rest of our situations for review for projects. The second big change is that it does do an environmental review for the lifetime of a facility. Currently, for public infrastructure facilities like this, we have a time frame of looking out about 20 years where we start to not have the capacity to determine what the effects of a project will do. In the case of a landfill, a lot of times the outline of the project may be known. There may be some idea where cells might be or a building or that, but the specific details going out in the year 50 or whatnot is not known, and that's where we have our concerns. We can't see out that far and determine the environmental impact or what else will be situations out there. For instance, is there housing developed now next to the location? The road system has changed so that things like noise and traffic are changed, which are looked at in the environmental review. Because of those situations, we do not support the Senate position, and it was mentioned in our House letter, and we do support the House position on Section 100.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dames.
Mr. Kadelka, I apologize, I may have mispronounced your name. It's my understanding that there's not any penalty phase in the EIS or the EAW, that all comes through the permitting process. And you're concerned about 20 years down the road, maybe there's a housing development or something like that. But the EAW and EIS, if they haven't changed anything, what are you going to be able to change that you can't change in the permit? It's my understanding most of the things you want to accomplish can be accomplished in the permitting process. Also, it's my understanding that if there's any change, if they change the cells or anything like that, that they still would have to go through the EEW, the EIS. So I guess I don't know where the real rub really is here, because what you want to accomplish, from what I've heard in the various hours of testimony we've had on this, the majority of what you want to accomplish can be accomplished through the permitting process. I also understand that there's no penalty phase in the environmental study, in the environmental review. So I'm not sure what it is that you feel that you're giving up that's so drastic when we look at an EIS in the landfill costing $50,000 to $75,000, and if we're going to do an environmental assessment worksheet, as I understand, that can be $200,000 to $500,000. So why would we not, if we're going to permit a new landfill, why would we not everything very precise? The neighbors are going to want that. Anybody that's going to be involved with a new landfill in their community, they're going to know exactly what's going on, and you're going to want that description to start with. So any changes after that, if it's a real change as far as an expansion or anything like that, you would still be able to get an EAW and EIS. So I don't know where the conflict here is.
Mr. Chair and committee members, thank you for the question, Senator. The issue lies in when we're dealing, the way this is worded, when we're talking about a lifetime review of the project, those triggers never come into a factor anymore, because what they will do is they will draw the large outline of the project, say this square piece of paper. As long as they may say this is where they're going to be in 80 years and this is where they're going to plan their cells in that. When we permit a facility, we're only looking at basically 5 to 10 years worth of capacity. That's what we know is going in, the very specifics. Well, they may know there's some future cells will be out here in that. The very specific detail out there, we don't know, unfortunately. We can't foresee out there what other items are done. Environmental review, for a second point, environmental review and permitting are two separate things. The environmental review document does look at more than what's done in our permitting. It looks at numerous things, including noise, litter, and other items that are throughout the process. And it's a possibility for local units of government and citizens to have an input onto the process. As of right now, in the situation of penalties and that, penalties are done throughout the permitting system. You are correct in that regard. But our environmental review will look at a much larger project and give information to those decision makers when they're looking at whether or not to even move forward with the project, whether it's a local unit of government for their conditional use permits or a PCA for its permitting capacity for the landfills.
Mr. Chair, follow up. In your reference to the piece of paper that you held up, a piece of paper and said that might be the footprint of the landfill, but they may only use a few cells to start with, and that's really kind of what you look at. So are you stating when you have this new landfill and they show you the footprint is going to be the piece of paper that you only do the environmental assessment for the few cells that you think are going to open? Am I correct, or do you do it for the whole piece of paper? The whole footprint. Wouldn't you do it for the whole footprint?
Well, Mr. Chair and committee members, while the whole outline of the location is known, our specific review is what is going to be done for the permitting. So while the neighborhood and the local units of government may want to know where that outside boundary is, our review is on the smaller portion of the project, which is within the capacity of they're looking for their permits and that which we know. We do not know the details and do not do the environmental review on things 80 years out.
Members, any further discussion? Senator Dames renews his motion to accept the Senate side. That would be section 17.
Yes,
Mr. Chair. Page R57. Mr. Knopf.
Just a clarifying thing, too. You'll see on the House side this paragraph B that allows the good cause exemption. In Senate File 1244, we had a general section for the whole bill that they could use the good cause exemption. So I'm assuming that if you did adopt the Senate side, we'd bring over the good cause exemption to allow the agency to do quicker rulemaking on this, because that is the way it is in 1244. But there was nothing in, since that's not part of 1115, there was nothing in here to bring that section in on. So we just, it didn't come across. But there is a quick rulemaking also in the Senate bill for this process.
Members understand? Any further discussion? The roll call has been asked. Call the roll.
Senator Skoy.
Yes.
Senator Carlson.
Yes.
Senator Dames.
Yes.
Senator Gazelka.
Yes.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Yes.
Representative McNamara.
No.
Representative Hancock.
No.
Representative Dill.
Nope.
Representative Dopke.
Depke.
I'm sorry.
No.
No. And Representative Lemaire.
No.
The motion fails.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Section 100 in the on the House side.
Representative McNamara moves Section 100 on the House side on R57. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
And Mr. Chair, you've got Section 55 and 101 that are the same. This language is also in the Conference Committee report for the budget bill. I don't know if you want to include it here, too.
Senator Gazelka moves Section
Senate File, Section 55.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.
And Mr. Chair, on R58, you have the Camp 5 Township easement lease, the House only provision requiring the Commissioner of Natural Resources to grant a local road easement. Or if they don't want the road easement, then the Commissioner has to grant at fair market value a lease for the 20-year road lease across state land.
Representative Dill.
I'll move Section 102, Mr. Chairman. And I will listen to the DNR Commissioner. He's more important than me.
Mr. Important Commissioner. We like to listen to you.
Where is the chair? I'd like to hear from Representative Dill.
I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way here, so you're going to have to go
first. It was worth a shot. This language came in the House Committee on the floor. It's an issue we've been working with Representative Rukavina on. Our preference would be to transfer or convey an easement to the township, which we're still working with the township on. Otherwise, the language does provide us the ability to issue a lease at fair market value to the leasee. And our concerns have been addressed with just the cost of the lease. I mean, a 20-year lease is going to be four times as much as a five-year lease. So I think our concerns are addressed either way. I would rather not have to have this language, but we can certainly live with it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dill.
Well, we'd rather have the language. I mean, what's been happening is they built the road. They maintain the road. A family maintains this road, and they've been paying the lease to the DNR. I think it's around $1,300 a year, as I recall. Is that about the amount, Mr. Meyer? Chair, Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chair, it's been going up over the years because of the value of it.
So, Mr. Chairman and members, what's happened is when the question of Ms. Lewis was asked about how much of that money is going into the school trust, the answer was zero, because it's all being eaten up by attorney fees to develop these lease, to keep putting the lease out. So that's the reason it says that in the last part, notwithstanding this section, the market value fee for the, must go into the deposit into the school trust fund. I mean, this is an ongoing problem. I don't think I have to elaborate on it. This is kind of a shooting a shot over the bow. Let's approve the language and get on with it.
Representative Dan.
Mr. Chair, could somebody tell me what the value of the lease is? What does the lease run a year to release this?
Senator, I believe they said $1,500 a year or something like that.
Sure, that was for a five-year lease. The last lease issued was, I think, about $1,200. There was some land that was added. The lessee for a period of time was paying a lease rental rate on just a segment of the road rather than the whole road. We picked up that whole road on the issuance of the last five-year lease, which caused the lease rate to go up, obviously. And so we're working on all those issues. As to the trust question that Representative Dill brought up, the committee has adopted language in this bill that makes all of the leases that take place on all of the funds minus the cost of doing these to go right to the trust fund now. Previously, they were deposited in the forest suspense account. So we have actually improved upon that concept, Representative Dill. On the House floor, there was an amendment added that says any lease that is issued on school trust lands minus the cost of preparation are deposited directly into the corpus of the school trust.
Mr. Chairman, but I think when I read this, and, I'm not Mr. Knopf, it says the market value fee for the market value fee for the school lands must be deposited. So that means all of it, not part of it. That means all of it. No more attorney fees, no more getting raked over the coals on these same lease every time, over and over and over, and zero, not a penny, goes into the school trust. We pass this language, they get the money, the kids get the money. So you either vote to pay for the attorneys at the DNR or you vote to fund your schools at home.
Mr. Chair, just on that note, the language in the bill is specific to that lease. The other language I was talking about dealt with all school trust leases. But the problem you're going to have is if we aren't able to capture our costs, we just won't be issuing leases, or we're going to have to figure out a different way to do it with the budget that's coming down. So I understand your concerns, Representative Dill. The language on page R21 is the language I was referring to. It says, notwithstanding Section 16A.125, after deducting the reasonable costs incurred for preparing and issuing the lease, all remaining proceeds from the leasing of school trust land and university lands for roads on forest lands must be deposited into the prospective permanent fund for the land. So we're talking about two different issues, basically. You're talking about the funds off of this lease, which is partly school trust land, partly acquired forest land, partly federal land. I was talking about all road leases into the future.
I understand, Representative Dill, this is talking about just this one piece.
Yeah, this is, and Mr. Chairman, this comes from an agency that got money falling out of every pocket. So,
any further?
If you don't believe it, tell me what they're not doing.
Any further discussion to the motion, members? Hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And Mr. Chair, we already adopted Section 31 on the Senate side. Now the Section 32, that's the Aquatic Invasive Species Management Implementation Cost Report. The Senate is requiring them to report back on the long-term funding needed to implement and enforce the aquatic or the invasive species laws. And so that's a Senate only on Section 32.
Representative Defke moves.
I apologize. I missed that. Missed the whole comment. Would you please repeat?
The motion we're looking for is to adopt the Senate side on Section 32 of R58.
Okay.
Senate language.
Okay. Yes, I move that language, please.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, on the next two in the revisor instruction, the repealer, you've already adopted the House's provision on the clean water partnership. So I assume 103 is included, and also the repealers that go along with that, starting on 103F.711. Those are included already. The difference now is you've got that Blakely State Waste had the Senate had it in the budget bill on 53.31, that's the 85.013. And then you've got also the native prairie and grassland definitions, although this would, like in the budget bill, leave in subdivision 5, which is the native prairie definition. And then the 184D.02, that's the same on both. That's the current inspection requirements for the DNR. And so, and then we also talked about adding the Scheider repealer will be added to that. So I think, Mr. Chair, the question is, you'll need the Blakely State Wayside one. So you'll need, so basically from 53.31 through 54.1 on the House side, you want all of those. The question is, do you want to include the 84.02 in this bill also? That's the grassland and some native. You want to include it in this bill, too?
Yes, Mr. Okay. Chair, Mr. Knott.
Mr. Chair, they're the same as they are in the conference report, so that's not a problem. So, Mr. Chair, I guess you could just make a motion to adopt the House 103 and 104 together here.
Mr. Chair, I'd make that motion.
Representative McNamara makes the stated motion on R58, Section 104. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All same sign.
Mr. Chair, we have one issue left as I see it. We have.
Slow down a little bit.
Sorry.
Not 10 o'clock yet.
We have the effective date of the invasive species changes. The Senate had June 13th, and also to clarify that they apply to violations committed on or after that date. So you know when the cutoff is. If you know, the law has changed and there's a violation before that date, where the House has the day after enactment but doesn't say how they apply. And so I guess you'll just need a global motion on how do you want the invasive species provisions, not the sticker or whatever, the rules sticker, but the other parts, whether or not you want them to be effective the day following enactment, and do you want to say that they apply to all violations committed on or after that date, or do you want that just to say day following enactment as the House did?
Mr. Chair. Representative McNamara.
You want to go?
Yeah, I would make that motion that the day following enactment.
Do we want to, Mr. Chair, include and apply to violations committed on or after that date?
Yes. That would be my motion.
Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if Major Smith could come up. I would just like... I also want to speak to supporting your motion, but I want to clarify that we're going to need some flexibility here in the next few days. Specifically, I would hate to think we're all going to work under the assumption that Governor Dayton's going to get up early tomorrow morning and sign this, or I guess we have to have conference committee report sometime tomorrow, and potentially he could be signing this bill within a couple of days or by the end of the week. I just would like some confirmation that we're not going to release all the COs this weekend to go out and ticket to beat the band before people have even seen what we're doing here.
Mr. Chair, for the record, again, Major Rodman Smith, Operations Manager for DNR Enforcement. And Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, to your point, we're going to have to train our own folks on these laws first. So... the thought of the COs being released and going out and enforcing these the letter of the law and writing a bunch of tickets in reality isn't going to happen. There's a lot of new language in here. We're going to need to get our folks on board and get them trained on what the new law is, so they won't be running out of the gate. There was one portion, though, I believe, in the original bill on the watercraft, no, excuse me, the lake service provider.
That should not be.
That I believe, would that be okay, Mr. Knopf? Because I think the Eco Waters wanted that to have an August 1st effective date because they need to get that training and that program up to speed and put together.
Mr. Chair, I guess I probably should have been clear. I was trying to, those two provisions in the Senate side were not June 13th, they were August 1st. In the House, I think they were both, they didn't have an effective date following enactment on the service provider, if I remember right. So we would leave those out to August 1st, just like in the Senate.
We need a motion to do that?
Well, you need just a general, that would be part of the motion.
That'd be part
except
of
for
motion.
Those two things, all the aquatic invasive species will be.
I certainly appreciate you being considerate of the public. I mean, it's going to be something new, and I certainly appreciate the ads I've been seeing on TV, what little time I'm able to spend in front of the TV over the last days. I've actually caught, I suppose because it's opening fishing. I think everybody else was able to fish on opener, weren't they, except us. But anyhow, nevertheless, there's some good ads going on out there. The campaign is certainly appreciated, and we would appreciate your indulgence on that. So thank you. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Major, and really to my House colleagues, too, because there are a number of provisions the Senate had dealing with the aquatic invasives that didn't get adopted. But, you know, members, this is important stuff, and we really, really need to take this seriously. And if there's an inconvenience to somebody, they're going to get inconvenienced. But we can't let these aquatic invasives take over the state's lakes. And we're going to have some pretty significant action. I think that there should have been some increased penalties in this bill, but we didn't get that. But, Major, you know, when your officers are out, I would hope that every opportunity they get, they're talking to people moving their boats and canoes and sailboats around the lake and making sure people know how important this is, because it just takes one little organism to get into a lake, and then you got it. And, you know, it wrecks fisheries. And so We're going to have to take this serious.
Appreciate those comments. Anything further?
Yes. I would like to support Senator Scoy's comments. I think it's incredibly important for us to get a handle on this as quickly as possible, and I would support the current motion on this.
Thank you, Representative Epke. Anything further from the on the motion?
Okay, do that motion first.
I renew my motion with regards to the timelines enactment immediately and the August timeline for those two provisions that were talked about. Any further discussions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Need a motion for the whole bill.
Now we're going to entertain a motion to accept the whole bill.
So move.
Senator Dames moves to accept
amended
the bill before us as amended. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, can I just elaborate a little bit on that? It's to prepare a conference committee report based on all of the adopted amendments today and provisions in the bill, and correcting any mistakes we may have made or whatever, and then to get it ready for signature.
Senator Dames, would you repeat that?
Would you like me to repeat it?
Renews his motion as stated by Mr. Knopf. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Members, that was a lot of work. We appreciate it.
Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Dames.
Mr. Chair, before we go, I'd just like to thank you and Representative McNamara and Senator Ingebrigtsen and both Amy and Mike for all their hard
thank
work
you.
On this. Thank you. We certainly appreciate it.
I think
at the end of the day
well.
We got a good deal.
Thank you. Committee stands adjourned.